chapter 5. The book of Job, chapter 5. And we want to speak this morning from verse 8 on seek unto God and commit your cause unto Him. Seek unto God and commit your cause unto Him. And the background here is that in the first 7 verses, continuing from chapter 4, Job's friend has charged him erroneously with sin. He has laid many things upon Job that were not so in the life of Job. And again, we have to be careful that we don't do the same. Because in the case of Job, we are aware of things that Job and his 3 friends were not. However, where you and I are concerned at present today, we're not privy to a lot of things, just like Job and his 3 friends weren't. We don't know what conversation God has had with Satan or whoever. We don't know. We don't get to see what God is weaving right now in the life of this person or that person. And so, we need to be awful careful about it. One of the things that I have seen in Scriptures, and it's true in no doubt every child of God's life, the more spiritually mature they become is, they find out that they... the more they know from Scriptures, the less they know.
Right.
And that's so true, isn't it? In Job chapter 5 and verse 8, after Eliphaz, he comes to this conclusion. We'll read down through verse 27. He says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. And he begins to number them, though they're without number. And it's kind of like we sing that hymn, Count Your Blessings. You're never going to count them all. But it's good to count them, isn't it? It's good to begin to see all the things that God has wrought in your life. And it ought to begin with spiritual things. And it can be material things as well, but we ought to remember the spiritual things. And he says, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Think about how much crafty or those that are crafty, what they've devised against you and against this church, and against fellow saints that have never come to pass, never come to fruition, because God has, as the Scripture says here, He disappoints them. Isn't that something? I mean, things we don't even know about. The next verse, he says in verse 13, He taketh the wise and their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. But He saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For He maketh sore and bindeth up, He woundeth and His hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine He shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. Thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it and know thou it for thy good. We find again the great instruction that Eliphaz gives unto Job. While he misapplied many things unto Job, we find here that Eliphaz does say a great many truths about the Lord. And in verse 8, he gives this wonderful instruction, and would to God that all may take heed and adhere unto it, when he says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. And so we want to note here, first of all, this morning, that we find that he says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. The first thing is that there is a reason for you to seek unto the Lord God. And that is that you have been charged with sin. And while this, we know that Job was charged falsely, we find that every man, woman, boy, and girl has been charged truthfully with sin by God. The Bible tells us, and you can turn over with me and read it in our hearing with us in Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23. And God, with a sweeping brush, He coats every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every skin color, every one of every creed. He coats them all with the same brush, which is sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans 3 and in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is one of the times in Scripture when we rightly divide the word of truth, that the word all does mean all without exception. Amen. And so it is here that all have sinned. There is but one, and that is Jesus Christ, who has not sinned. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This charge comes not from erring Eliphaz, and it comes not from the Apostle Paul. But it comes from He who sits atop the throne of thrones, from He who is in heaven's lofty throne and lofty place. It comes from the Judge of the earth, and He declares that everyone has sinned and comes short of God's glory. Amen. This charge is one that ought to be taken seriously. This is not one that we ought to just throw away. You know, I've seen folks, and you hand them a ticket, they've been charged with a crime, whether it be the motor vehicle code or whether it be something else, and they'll just wad it up as if to say, well, it doesn't mean anything. This means something. That you have sinned, you have missed the mark, you have not the requirements that God requires of you. And that as we read here, that you have come short of God's glory. As was brought out so wonderfully by the men as they preached, that this sin is one that's been committed against a very holy God. We don't really understand that, do we? So often we, like the psalmist said, we like to say and we like to think that God, well, He's like us. Well, He can't tolerate any sin. He can't even bear to look upon iniquity. It is a vile and abominable thing in His sight. And all the goodness that you and I can come up with will never be anything more than an abominable thing in His sight.
Right, amen.
We have sinned and come short of His glory. We are an offense unto Him. And God has levied the charge, and He has brought it Himself against us. And He has sent others. And it is as God sent Nathan unto David, when He said unto him, Thou art the man. And if you're here this morning, we know, and if you're without Christ, you art the man, or the woman, or the boy, or the girl, as the case may be, that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is as though as you are in the place of Belshazzar, and the hand came into the palace room, and it wrote on the wall, Tekel, which by interpretation is, Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. God has already judged you, and the verdict is you are in condemnation right now. The Bible tells us, if you'll turn over into John chapter 3, You see, this is the cause. This is the reason that you need to seek unto God and that you need to commit your cause unto Him is because you're a sinner. And He's the only one who can set you free. He's the only one who can save. And in John 3, and notice in verse 18, it says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." This is the place of every single person who has come into this world apart from Christ, that they have come in and they are sinners in the eyes of God. And they are condemned already. And then in verse 36, these wonderful words, and of great truth they are, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Do you understand that? That God's wrath is at present abiding on you. It is over you. It is upon you. It is clinging to you. And it is just waiting for God to send it forth as a pack of dogs to consume you and destroy you for all eternity. And the only thing that is withholding it is the long suffering of God at this present hour. That's it. No, this is the charge. And this is the reason of which you ought to seek God. Because you have sinned against the Most High God. You and your existence, just as mine was, and just as everyone was, it is an offense unto Christ. We have produced no righteousness. Not one drop. Not one iota of righteousness that we produce. Not one thread in the garment that we have sewn and shown unto God, not one thread of it is a righteous thread. Not one stitch that we made was made with righteousness. Not one act with our hands was done with righteousness. So that all that we have produced and we put before God, there's not an ounce of righteousness in it. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. Oh, we might even go down and say, well, maybe not righteousness, but that's the standard, isn't it? Well, you know, the Bible even tells us that there is none good. Not one droplet has come forth from our endeavors, our thoughts, that has produced anything that we could call righteous or good before God. The Scripture declares, furthermore, that we must seek unto God and commit our cause unto Him because we have been charged with rejecting the only Savior to whom God has sent. That His Son Jesus Christ came and we have rejected Him. That He was presented unto us that we might be saved, that through believing on His name we might have life eternal, and we have refused Him. And as Stephen spoke and preached, being led of the Lord in Acts 7 and verse 51, we have further resisted the Spirit of God as our fathers did before us. No, we have not only offended the Father, we've offended the Son in rejecting Him, and we have offended the Spirit and that we have resisted Him. We have not obeyed the gospel, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are God's charges against us. And be it known unto you this day that a great and awful end in punishment and destruction awaits those who do not take heed to the seriousness of these charges, who do not adhere to that glorious message, the gospel, that has been declared. There is no hope apart from what the gospel states, to repent and believe the gospel. Look over to Revelation 21 and verse 8. And here is a great and tremendous truth. And I don't know what your mindset or heartset is or what excuses that you might be giving. I can tell you with myself that there were many times I say, well, I haven't committed this sin, or I haven't committed that sin, or some of these others here. But you know, the Bible puts it plain and clear. And I remember hearing on some tapes that Dad would put in front of me, sermons of my grandfathers, of his dads, and he would refer unto this verse. And you'll notice here in Revelation 21 and verse 8 that the Bible speaks about those who will inhabit the lake of fire. And you know, it's not those that we say, oh, these are heinous sins. But you look here and in verse 8 and notice what it says, but the fearful and who? And unbelieving. And the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, even the ones that tell little white lies. Where will they be? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. People say, really? Well, I expect the murderers to be there, and I expect the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters. But the unbelieving? See, unbelieving is a great and tremendous sin. In fact, you'll find that it was a sin that barred Israel from entering into the land of Canaan, wasn't it? It's a sin that bars God's people today from a great many joy and blessings that God has prepared for them. And it is a sin that bars men, women, boys, and girls from entering into that rest. As Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And they do not come because they do not believe what God says concerning their condition, nor concerning the remedy in Christ Jesus. And so all unbelievers shall have their part with all these others. No, this is the great seriousness of the charge that God has laid. But thank God through His long suffering, if you'll turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, secondly, this morning, as we were instructed in Job to seek unto God and to commit our cause unto Him. Thankfully, through God's long suffering, God has permitted a time in which He has not exacted and carried out His sentence. And this has been done so that salvation might come unto men, women, boys, and girls. And it is your responsibility as His creation and as one who has offended God to seek Him out that you might be pardoned. In Isaiah 55 and in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. The Scripture tells us that as Eliphaz gave instruction unto Job to seek unto God, so ought sinners ought to seek unto God. I'm aware that Romans chapter 3 says that there is none that seek God. Therefore, they must be told to seek God.
Right.
It's a foolish thing to say, well, you can't tell sinners to seek God. Sure you can.
Right.
The Lord did. I just read it to you. We find that Scriptures tell us, in this passage of Scriptures, that they're to seek for Him, to go after Him. And they're to do it while He may be found, because one day He will not be found of them who seek Him.
Right.
Isn't that what was told there unto the rich man who was in hell, and he lifted up his eyes being, or lifted up his head being in torments, and he cried out unto Abraham? He said, oh, send Lazarus that he may dip his hand or his finger in the water and put it upon my tongue. He said, it's too late. It'll be too late for you too. No, you need to seek the Lord while He may be found. And I can't tell you that there's another day but today that's guaranteed to you. And it might not even be the whole day. As Brother Bush wonderfully stated, this might be the last 35 minutes he ever preached. It might be the last 35 minutes of a sermon you ever hear. And so you need to seek Him right now, right where you're at, calling upon Him that you might be saved. We find here that the Bible tells us that you ought to seek the Lord while He may be found in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 55, "Call ye upon Him while He is near." Boy, He's near, isn't He? Because the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 8, What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that the word of faith which we preach, so that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Seek unto Him. And don't stop seeking unto Him until you found Him. And don't stop calling upon Him until He answers. He said, "Commit your cause unto Him." Is this not what transpired again and again and again throughout the Scriptures by sinners? Is this not, if you'll turn over to Psalm 51 and notice, if you would, verses 1 through 4. Is this not what David did when he had sinned against God? And is this not instruction for you and I as children of God, but also for lost sinners as well, that when we have sinned against God, we are to seek Him and to commit our cause unto Him? Well, this is exactly what David did. In Psalm 51 and verse 1, where he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Oh, David doesn't come before God and say, "God, look at all the things I've done for You. And look at how I treated Saul. And look at, he was trying to kill me, but I didn't touch Your anointing. And look at what I've done for Mephibosheth. And look at all how I built this house and I want to build You this temple. Look at all the things that I want to do for You and I've done for You." No, he pleads before God's throne tender mercies and loving kindness. Because as sinners, we have nothing to plead before Him except mercy. He goes on into verse 2 and he says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest." Boy, David doesn't put rose-colored glasses on, does he? He doesn't try to put flowery language to his sin, does he? He says, "I've done evil in Your sight. So has every man, woman, boy, or girl."
Amen.
So have you. And you just put our names in there or say it as David. "Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done evil in Thy sight. And the only thing that I can come and do is as that publican who smote upon his breast seeking God's mercy." There he was, standing afar off in the temple, beating upon his breast, crying out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know what his cause was? His cause was he was a sinner and he couldn't produce righteousness. He couldn't even think righteousness, let alone produce it. So he had to cry out unto God, "I am a sinner." Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. No, we are instructed in Job chapter 5 and verse 8 to commit our cause unto the Lord. And this is exactly what David did. It's exactly what that publican did. And it's exactly what Saul of Tarsus did. He committed everything unto Him. We need to commit everything unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You read here what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." He says, "I know Him. I know Him in an experimental, in a personal way." And then he goes on and he says, "And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have" what? "Committed." "Committed unto Him against that day." Because there's coming a day when God's going to judge the world in righteousness. And he says, "And I have committed all of my sins unto Jesus Christ. I have put them all and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon my sinful nature. Have mercy upon my sinful thoughts. Have mercy upon all of me because I am a sinner." So he commits it to the Lord. He says, "Do with me as you will. But I desire mercy. And I desire loving kindness. And I desire grace that I might be saved. Not because I deserve it, but because you are so gracious and so merciful and so kind and loving and tender. And you pity those. You pitieth me." No, we need to commit our cause unto Him. Now, why should I seek God? Thirdly, well, I've been charged with sin and I've been instructed to seek Him, but why Him? Why not something else? Well, Eliphaz gives a great list of things here in Job 5 concerning the Lord. And in verse 9, he speaks a great deal of things, and we noted just a little bit of this when we got into it in our studies in Job, and we'll return to it as the Lord leads. But in verse 9, we find here that the Bible says, referring unto God, that He doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. And they are, aren't they? I mean, they're unfathomable. You look there and you read over in Isaiah 55. And I apologize, I should have told you to put your thumb there. But turn back to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. Because here is one, just one, of the great and unsearchable and marvelous things that God does. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He," that is the Lord, "will" what? "Have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Isn't that a great and marvelous thing? Unsearchable. We heard, as I made a statement, that it is the simplicity of the gospel, but the gospel, the plan of salvation, is very complex, isn't it? It took an infinite God to plan such a redemption and to carry it out. To pardon this expression, there's so many moving parts, aren't there? But He's got everyone finely tuned and bringing to pass our redemption. I don't know how many Old Testament prophecies there are. But I read a book some years ago, and I'm told that the probability of an individual fulfilling them is astronomical. Christ did it, didn't He? Greatness of what God has done, the pinnacle, is that He didn't just pardon, but abundantly pardon. That He had mercy upon the wicked and the unrighteous. That through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary, God does save those who believe on Him, though they sin. That every sin is not just pardoned, but abundantly pardoned, so that He remembers it no more. You know, and some of you don't remember this. I wasn't alive when it happened, but nobody forgot what Nixon did, even though he got pardoned. But nobody forgot. But God has abundantly pardoned us so that He doesn't remember it. It's not brought up unto us by the Lord. And he says here that he will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon. He abundantly pardons us. And it is that this is the greatness and the marvelous things that God does. That He sent Jesus Christ to pay for my sins at Calvary. And if you too believe, you too shall be justified. You too shall be pronounced righteous by God. You too shall be abundantly pardoned. And have mercy. By He who sits upon the very throne whom you've offended and who has levied these charges against you. Isn't that something? That's a great and marvelous thing. That the same one we've offended who has said, here's what you've done, this is what's going to happen to you, but if you come unto me, if you come unto me through my Son Jesus Christ, and if you believe on Him, if you seek me while He may be found and call upon me, I will have mercy and will abundantly pardon you. Oh, we need to commit our cause unto Him. We need to go unto Him as that publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can't keep your law. I have tried and I have tried and I have tried. I have labored as those seamen did before they threw Jonah in the water. And Lord, I cannot bring this ship to shore. I have labored. And the only thing that I have produced, the only thing that I have wrought has been more sin. And just unrighteousness. And the more I try to get and to be where I need to be, the farther away I get. And I need You to make me righteous. I need You to make me whole. And the only way that God does that is by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Seek Him. Seek unto God. And commit thy way or commit thy cause unto Him, because He doeth great things, unsearchable, marvelous things without number. And He's still doing it, isn't He? He's still doing this. While we stand, as the song leader comes,